working our way through the book of John. Interesting little passage here this evening. Anybody need a worksheet that didn't get a worksheet? Slip your hand up and they'll come by and give you one. All right. John chapter 6. We'll start with verse number 1. Read through the passage here. And interesting little passage, really is. John chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. This is the same thing. I think there's three. Gennesaret is the other name. Same body of water. It depends on which side of the body of water you're in. If you're near Tiberias, they call it the Sea of Tiberias. If you're near Galilee, they call it the Sea of Galilee. You know how it is. And so, don't let that get you confused there. Verse 2, and a great multitude followed him. Why? Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now, the reason they throw the Passover thing in there is this. People were there from all the towns around. There was a lot of people there. And while they were there, it's almost like they thought they had heard enough about Jesus to want to kind of hunt this guy down. See who this guy is. And so it was an inordinate amount of people in the area. I mean, 5,000 people coming out of the area, out of the one little town, basically, you know, sucks the whole town dry. Okay, but I say, well, how in the world get 5,000 people together? In fact, there's 5,000 men. I think another one of the Gospels says plus women and children. So there's a good chance there's close to 15,000 people there. We say the feeding of 5,000, but the feeding of 5,000 households, if you want to say. 5,000 men, 5,000 leaders of the home. And so, but let's say this, at least 5,000. Verse 3, Jesus went up into the mountain, there was he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, can you imagine? He's up there with the disciples, and all of a sudden, he probably heard this stir. He probably heard people talk. I'm sure they weren't going. 5,000 people make a whole, 5, 10, 15,000, however many it was, makes a lot of noise. And can you imagine, we're going to go see Jesus. It's kind of like, when have you ever been to Sight and Sound? And when you go on the way in, you got these busloads going in. And they're already talking because they're all excited. They're going to, nothing's going on. And so they're going to go see Jesus. And so I said, oh my soul. Can you imagine looking over the hill and seeing 5,000, and maybe have been more than, might have been three times that many, see 5,000 people coming up over the hill at you. I mean, just kind of imagine. All right, so he looks over there, he says, and so that's why he says the Passover's in town. So the whole place is in town. It's kind of like when hot rods come to York, They take up all the hotel rooms and all the restaurants. You can't do anything. They just kind of, they load the whole place up. So Passover's in town, and so it's a big time. And so Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread? These may eat. Well, we're going to have a big dinner tonight. Here we go. Seeing all these people coming. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, we're not going to talk about that verse tonight. We may go back and touch on that. But that really wasn't what I was going to touch on here tonight. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here with hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus basically said, we'll show you what they are for so many. What's this? Well, I'll show you what this is. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. What that means is He gave them as much as they wanted. They had a smorgasbord with seconds and thirds if they wanted it. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, talking about the 5,000, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. Let's stop right there. And we're going to talk, there's more in here than just what I'm talking about tonight. But I want to take a little bit of time here tonight and talk about fans and followers. Fans and followers. You know, there's some people who are real, you know, Philly fans or Steeler fans, and you know, and all those kind of things. And there's such things as fans, and there's even, you know, you hear about Christian artists and all these things, and I don't know. I guess it's okay. You know, I mean, I like Christian entertainment and all those kind of things, but you know, there's. But anyway, we have a lot of fans. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Father, we thank you for your blessings and for taking care of us. And Lord, help us be a blessing to our folks. And Lord, I pray just to speak to our hearts here this evening. Maybe we just kind of look inside a little bit and see where we fall in the midst between these fans and followers. And my guess is there's probably a little bit of each in us. But Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit, again, to reprove, to teach us what's right, maybe what's not right, and rebuke if necessary, and encourage, and Lord, help us just to be more like you when we leave, and we ask in Christ's name, amen. We come to an account that is also included in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. However, once again, the words that I have in the Scriptures that are in bold, those are the words that are, that's the past parts of the passage that's only in John. Okay, you see some that are in standard print. Those particular thoughts are also in some of the other Gospels. But the parts that are actually in bold in the Scriptures that I've shown you, that particular information is only found in John. Of course, John has shown us the deity of Christ. Now, John obviously had some specific points he wanted to make concerning the miraculous event. Now, John did not see this event just as a miracle. John saw these events as a sign with a purpose. And, of course, John 20, the end of the book of John, he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So there's some things he's shown us here. And in this particular story, he's doing it again. He wants us to see Jesus Christ as the Son of God so that we will believe in him and trust in him as our Savior. Now, this particular sign was performed, if you will, before the largest audience. And again, it could very well have been close to 15,000 people. But it was at least 5,000. The significance of this event is also attested to that the fact that it's recorded in all 4 Gospels. So this is an important event. And, you know, we read these things, just kind of, well, okay, see, he fed 5,000. Okay, turn the light out, let's go to bed. But you really kind of have to think about this. This really did happen. Okay, this is not Grimm's fairy tales. This is not Mother Goose. This is something that actually happened. And so you need to come, so if you're really going to get the impact out of the story, you kind of have to believe the story, believe the account. Now, the biggest problem with this event is that it is helping, and this event here is helping to create fans of Jesus, maybe more so than followers of Jesus. Let's work our way through here. Number one, Jesus had some fans. F-A-N-S. Jesus had some fans. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because, why? They saw his miracles. That word miracle means a mark of indication. That they saw something that was different about this guy. I mean, not everybody goes around doing what he does. And so they were marking, so to speak. See, they really thought that his miracles were indicating him for something particular. So they saw these miracles which he did on them that were diseased. That word diseased, let me just kind of say it this way. That word means feeble. We see disease and we think of cirrhosis of the liver or cancer or some other disease that's kind of, you know, eating away at your body or some virus or some plague or something. You see, you think of disease. The word is diseased, not eased. In other words, burdened, afflicted. And you know how words kind of change as the years go by, but the word diseased means feeble. In other words, no longer at ease. And so they liked the fact that he made these people's lives better. You follow what I'm saying? They liked the fact that these people's lives were not so difficult. And I can imagine what lives must have been back there. I mean, you can't just go to a doctor. I mean, I can't remember how many times I've prayed for somebody in the hospital. And what part of my prayer was, I'm sure glad we have some place like this to go to. You know, I'll be honest with you, I would be dead if it wasn't for a hospital. I had my appendix out about 20 years ago, and it would have killed me if there wasn't somebody to take it out. So I'm kind of glad for hospitals and stuff like that. And so I'm sure they were happy to have somebody. I mean, how many people would have chronic pain or chronic problems or whatever it was, and was nothing you could do about it? You're just going to live with it until you die. You know, it's like that woman that had the issue for 12 years. That issue of blood might have been for the rest of her life, and very much that might have shortened her life, except for the fact there was some place to go. Aren't you glad you haven't put someplace to get your knee done, huh, Melinda? You know, it's hurting right now, but it's going to be better. You know, it's going to be okay. Can you imagine, though, if we didn't have someplace like that, so whatever it was you had, you were going to have to keep until you're 95 when you finally pass on. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? Ever think about that? We take it for granted. And so Jesus was easing their life. You follow what I'm saying? Now, letter B. Fans like what they see. You know, fans go to a concert and they are enamored with the presentation. Fans are enamored just being close to somebody who's important. I mean, there's a lot of people who live for celebrities. I mean, think about all the magazines and all the TV shows that's just around people who are famous for being famous. You know what I mean? I mean, it's crazy, but somehow we're fans. And so it's like it brings some kind of life into our lives, all lives, brings some kind of excitement, some kind of thing. And so it made our life more pleasant. Letter C, fans like what the master does. Fans like what the master does. I mean, you know, we think about people who have fans, but, there's also folks who were fans of Pavarotti. You know who Pavarotti was? A great tenor, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, well, they were people. He was the master singer. He was the master. And they like what the master does. They like it. It encourages them. It spruces up their life. They get pepped up. They go out and say, that was a good concert. That was a good program. That was a good lecture. They like what the person's like. Letter D, fans like the quality of their lives are. Fans like that the quality of their lives are enhanced by the master. Their quality of life is enhanced by the master. There's a fan. Well, you know, he makes my life a little nicer. Or thinking about them kind of gives me a distraction from my life, part of my life that I don't like. Are you following what I'm saying here? You all kind of, okay, you're away. Okay, all right. We're fans of it. I like what it does to me. You know, some people just love going to the ballpark because there's just something about the ballpark that gives them a rush of adrenaline or something, the endorphins or whatever it is, gets them all wound up. They're a fan of that activity, the fan of those people. But let me say this. When you have fans and you go to see the master of whatever that is that you're a fan of, letter E, fans look to be served. Look to be served. And what am I saying that? They're going to get something out of it. Now watch it. If I'm not getting anything out of it anymore, I'm no longer a fan. You see what I'm saying? And see, some people say, well, I'm not going to that team anymore. Now, there's some people who are not just fans of certain teams, they're followers. You know, I mean, I know some people who've been Cub fans for years. I mean, they were Cub fans long before they finally won the World Series a couple years ago. You know, I mean, it was just kind of like there were certain things that was true. You know, gravity is true, and and water is wet, and Cubs are going to come in last place. I mean, it was just kind of that's what it was going to be. But fans are looking to get something served, so to speak. And if you're no longer serving me, or I'm no longer getting what I want out of it, then I'm no longer a fan. Letter F. Fans are not looking to serve, so they seldom learn from the master. They're not trying necessarily to become like the master. They want to be served by the master. They want to get the thrill from being around the master. They want their life enhanced because they're around the master. Are you following what I'm saying? And when I say served, it means, you know, it pepped me up. So it served my conscience. It served my attitude. It served my spirit, if it will. It gave me what I wanted. And Jesus had some fans. Number two, Jesus had some followers. Jesus had some followers. Look at verse 3. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Disciples means learners. Now, you could say that they were fans and followers, but they were more than just fans. Now, they weren't perfect, and things could get tough. And sometimes they didn't hang real tight at the very end there. But they were more than just fans. You know what the fans did? They went back home and slept in their beds. You know what Jesus said? You want to follow me? But he says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I don't have any place to lay my head. You still want to come? You know, they didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. They didn't know where they were sleeping that night. But they were going to follow him. They really weren't being serviced well, if you look at it from that fleshly perspective. Now, they were cared for well. But when you're getting cared for is one thing, but sometimes we like to be serviced. It says, in the Passover, a feast of the Jew was nigh. Because so it had drawn a big crowd to Jerusalem. And thus, this big crowd of Jerusalem wanted to see this Jesus they had heard about while they were in town. Now, letter B. Followers do as the master does. Now that's that we all fail, and these disciples fail too sometimes. But followers are seeking to do what the master does. He says, "Well, I'm going here. You going with me?" Yeah. When a lot of folks turn back and they said, "This is a hard saying. We can't do this," and he turned around and asked the disciples, "Will you also turn back?" He said, "Where else can we go? You have the words of life." In other words, they said, it's not always fun, it's not always great, it's not always what we're looking for, but it's what's right, and we're sticking with you. Followers do as the master does. Fans don't necessarily do that. You know, fans are thrilled. I think it was Isaac Stern. He was a great violinist. And he would practice. No, take it back. He was Pavarotti. He said, you practice. He says, if I miss a day of practice, I can tell. If I miss 2 days of, I mean, here's a guy that's a professional. And he practiced 3 hours a day every day to keep everything just as perfect as he could, the vocalist. And he said, if I miss a day of practice, I can tell. If I miss 2 days of practice, my coach, my vocal coach could tell. And he said, if I miss three days of practice, my audience could tell. I remember there was times when he would, there was a few times when Pavarotti, in fact, one story was he was on the platform and he was singing, and someplace on the backstage, somebody opened up a garage door where they bring in props and set scenes and stuff, and a big gust of cold air came in and went across the stage. And it felt funny in his throat, and he felt like he didn't do well. He gave everybody their money back that night because he says it wasn't up to par. What am I saying? The master goes out of his way to make everything right, does the work. In a way, you could say he served his audience. He said, I didn't do well. I didn't serve you well. You get your money back tonight. Don't pay me to do this. This job wasn't worth being paid for. So he was serving the audience. You know what the fans do? They go home and sing in the shower and they think they're as good as Pavarotti. Without all the extra work. I don't sound any different when I haven't practiced for weeks. Yeah, I know. I don't have to practice every day. I sound just good every day. Yeah, I know. Followers do as the master does. Because the followers are following the master, right? He said, you want to be my disciples, you got to take up your cross and follow me. You've got to do as I do. You've got to go where I go. You got to step where I step. You got to go through the process that I'm going through. Letter C, followers learn from the master. They watch the master. They learn from the master. They listen to the master. That means they change what they do to match the master. That's what a follower does. Letter D. Followers serve the master. What can I do? Joshua served Moses. He shined Moses' feet, shoes. You know, I mean, he was servant. But followers are looking to see what they can learn from the master in order to be a better follower. They're trying to learn. They're serving. They're staying right there. Letter E, followers follow. Even if they do not always like what they see. I don't understand this, but I'm sticking with the master. Will you also leave? No? Where else are the words of life? We don't understand what you just said any better than they do. You go back and study that passage. I don't get it either. But I know you're the master, and I'm going to stick with you. Followers follow. We have fans. Jesus had some fans. Jesus had some followers. Number three, there are usually more fans than followers. There are usually more fans than followers. Let me just give you a couple thoughts here. There's less commitment for a fan. You go, you buy your ticket, you like it, you go home. You know what? I'm not sure that guy really has it anymore. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'll go back and see it again. I don't know. We'll see. A follower says, I'm not sure why I didn't get anything out of this, but it's not the master's problem, it's my problem. Because the master knows what he's doing. So I'm going to go learn from the master. And if I don't get it the first time, I'm going back and I'm going to try it again. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to study what the master said. And I'm going to listen to the master because the follower wants to do what the master does. It's not just simply saying, it filled a little emotional void in my life for the day. I went into church and we had 2 hours and I tell you what, the Spirit moved. I cried, I laughed, we sang, we waved and everything, and now so the Spirit must have been there. Not necessarily. You can do that when you're watching Days of Our Lives. You know? Just because our emotion was touched doesn't mean that our spirit was touched. People cry and laugh at bars. Just because the humor was clean and we mentioned Jesus and God a few times still doesn't mean that God has really done anything. Fans are around as long as it is enhancing their lives. You know, okay? Fans come to church as long as they like the music better than it is somewhere else. Or they like the way it feels better than going down to the ball game on Sundays. Or they feel like they're staying out of trouble and it's probably better for me than going to the bar. Fans come to church as long as the sermon is not too long and too dry and too boring. We're too late for that. Fans come for the thrill, and when the thrill is gone, so are they. Know what I'm saying? Now, I'm preaching to the choir. Here you are. You're here Wednesday night. And just about every single one of you in here, except for maybe a couple visitors, you're here every Wednesday night. And not every Wednesday night message is a thriller. Sometimes it's just learning information. You see, to that point in this part of your life, you're practicing being a follower rather than a fan. Now, I've seen some fans who say, well, we're just going to jump in there. We'll do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they do it and do it and do it and do it. You know, and they do it for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and then boom, they're filled up. Done and they're gone. You don't even see them again. That was a fan. They liked it and it was joy, but you know, it kind of got old. I know that song. Know all the words. I could probably sing it better myself. Fans will be faithful to the church and to the Lord until something else gives them a bigger thrill. These are the ones that come in, they get involved, then they leave, and they find out they're not in church at all anymore. They're in the sports leagues on Sunday morning, or the Carbs, or the Car Club, or whatever else runs on Sunday and Wednesday, and that's what they're doing now. They decide to put the kids in Scouts, and it meets on Wednesday night. I try to be mean. I'm just trying to be real here. Something else has kind of caught their eye. And something else is just a little bit more exciting to them than learning the Word of God. But you see, that's why it says, add to your faith virtue. That's the desire, the manly determination to do what it takes to get the victory. Virtue, to virtue, knowledge. That's what we're doing tonight. To knowledge, temperance. The self-control to keep getting knowledge. To that, patience, to practice self-control over the long haul. To patience, godliness. You start thinking like God. Fans never start thinking like the Master. They like what he says, but never quite get it. You start thinking like God. To godliness, brotherly kindness. That means you start acting like the Master. You start behaving like the Master. Treating others like the Master would treat them. And the brotherly kindness, charity. Unconditional. Not necessarily requited, in other words, unrequited love. That's okay, because the purpose is not about us being loved, but it's about us being about us loving them. That's what it was about Jesus. It wasn't about him being loved, about him loving us. And we become like the Master. When you become more than a fan, you become a follower. Number four, followers are faithful, and fans come and go. There's a little bit of repetition here, but I want to put it in context. Number four, followers are faithful, and fans come and go. Letter A, followers are seeking to follow, and thus they want to know how and where and when to follow. You know what I'm saying? They want to do this. I want to do it right. A follower says, okay, when's the next service? Well, what's the next thing we do? Whether they say it out loud or whether or not, they're looking in the bulletin and they're saying, well, okay, how else can I get more out of this? I mean, I want to learn how to do this. I want to get in on this stuff. A follower wants to know. He's seeking to follow. Letter B, followers are learners. I've said that before, but in context here. Followers are faithful, so followers are learners. They're looking to find out how to do this. And of course, we don't do it in the flesh. We do it as we know Christ, our relationship becomes him, and the Spirit of God comes in. We have the fruit of the Spirit, and we learn the Word of God, and it gives us the wisdom that we're supposed to have. We learn the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Letter C, followers, that's a typo there, want, not what, my computer must have did that. Followers want to take advantage of every opportunity to learn what they can. Boy, I hate the spell check there. Followers want to take advantage of every opportunity to learn what they can. I remember when I found out there was church on Sunday nights, I thought, who's been holding back on that all these years? Oh, I'm serious. When I found out there was church on Sunday nights, we can go to church on Sunday nights. No, we get to go back a second time on Sunday and go to church and hear the Word of God and hear and get good music. And I was thrilled to death. I really was. And then I went into a church. Later, I found out they had church services on Wednesday night. I thought, cool, look at that. I get to go in the middle of the week. I don't have to wait all the way to Sunday. I'm serious. I know you might think I'm kind of crazy. I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes. I was thrilled to death. I remember when Jad and I first got married, we I had to be at school by 7:15 or something in the morning, 7:15, 7:30. And I didn't have any planning period. I was teaching in public school, and I had a 20-minute lunch. And I worked from 7:30 until we got out like about 3:30. I got in my car, I met Janet at McDonald's, and we'd shove down a Big Mac, and then we were looking, young couple trying to make money, and then we'd go over to Stu's Music, and we'd teach music lessons from 4:30, I guess, from 4:30, about 2 hours, about 6:30, and then we'd get in their car, drive across the road, and go to church at 7 o'clock at Open Door, and then when the church service got over, at 8:30, we start choir practice, that's when we had choir practice, and that was a long day, but the fact is, that was a great day. It was a great day. I mean, it couldn't get any better than that, because you get to be with God's people in God's Word, in God's house, and you get to learn a little something more. Now, maybe it was a little different for you all, but for me, I really didn't start to grow until I started dating Janet, and she started asking questions, and she thought I knew all the answers, and I had to go find them. Well, you've been in church all your life. You ought to know these things. You know what's the truth? I should have known all those things, but I didn't. Followers look for every opportunity. Wednesday evening, here we are, is much smaller than Sunday morning. Now, I know that some cannot do anything about it in their work because of their work, and they'd be here if they could. But some have other things that they are fan of, that they like to do, and so they think they're living a balanced life when they balance their walk with God with all the other things that they're fans of. I'm not trying to be mean. And some can't be here. I understand that. And I'm not beating up on anybody. And it's all between. I know me. So since I know me, I know that we can be like this. Number five. Fans may appear to be faithful because of their persistence to stay close to the master. Fans may appear to be faithful because of their persistence to stay close to the master. Years ago, we had the British invasion. And these boys came over with their bowl haircuts from England. I want to hold your hand. And we had fans who could not get close enough. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't get close enough. Fans may appear. Here's letter A. The difference between fans and followers is whether you stay close to the master even when it's no longer fun. The difference between fans and followers is that the followers stay close to the master even when it's no longer fun. That's why Jesus turned around and said, now if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Now, cast your burden on me. Let's take my yoke. I'll carry you through it. But we're going to go through some pretty tough times. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he's leading us to the green pastures and still waters. But the path of righteousness on the way to the still waters and the green pastures may pass through the valley of the shadow of death. But I'll fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, for thou art with me. You're guiding me along through that. You know, when the fan sees the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going there. That's no fun. And they turn back. A follower says, I truly believe we're going to get to the green pastures and the still waters. I don't know when, but we're going to get there because the master said so. So if we have to go through the valley of shadow of death, give me your hand, Jesus, here we'll go. I don't want to look, but I'll follow your hand, let me go. I'll just trust you to get me through the other side. That's what a follower does. A fan says, that doesn't look any fun. I think I'll try something else for a while. Number six, fans want to be fed. Fans want to be fed. Let's go back to our scripture, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, just so you know, I didn't put this on here. What was the first thing that Jesus thought of when he saw this great crowd of people coming? How may I serve them? You know what the fans were thinking? I wonder what kind of show we're going to get this time. We heard about all the wild things he did at disease. I'd love to see what he's going to do this time. It ought to be something. Maybe we got any dead people around here? Maybe we can raise some people from the dead. I don't know. Let's find a good one here. I hope he takes volunteers from the audience. You find what I'm saying? Obviously, the people believed in Jesus to a certain extent, or they would not have sat down in the middle of nowhere at dinner time, right? But they would have been getting hungry and would have been starting to think about what they were going to eat and most likely have been leaving to go into town to find something. So they believed that Jesus, I think they believed that Jesus was going to take care of them. So they believed him to a certain extent, but they were there to be fed. Serve my flesh, please. Let her see. Fans are takers and not givers. Fans are takers and not givers. And by the way, as soon as God starts moving and pressing upon somebody's heart, a fan's heart, that they should be giving, they usually disappear. Now, that's not what I signed up for. They can see that there are thousands of people in the crowd and only Jesus and a few disciples running things, and no concession stands around, and yet they sit down waiting for the master to provide for them. Feed us. They're fans, kind of like your kids. You know, I've told you the story about Esther and Hannah. They both sucked these two fingers, and they were like 20 months apart. And Jan would say, okay, it's time for dinner. And they curl up at the table, and they sit there and suck these two fingers, just waiting for mom to serve them. Now, you could say, well, they love their mom. They believe it gets served. Yes, they did. But as soon as mom asked them to do something they didn't want to, they were not fans of mom right at the moment. They were fans of mom when it came time for dinner time came around, but they weren't fans when it was time to clean up the toys. You follow what I'm saying? And we act like children, too, sometimes. So we'll ask what kids are like. I know, we ought to grow out of it. Foolish is bound in the heart of a child. We shouldn't be bound in our heart. Number 7, followers feed. See, fans want to be fed. Followers feed, because that's what the master does. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but man, what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, a number about 5,000. Now watch this. Number 1 underneath that. Notice that Philip was willing to take on the responsibility to feed the fans. I mean, all he found was that. He said, well, I'm not sure what we can do with this. But he did look. You know what I mean? He didn't. This was not so. Well, maybe somebody's got a lunch out there someplace. No, he says, well, I got a boy here. He's got this much. I mean, but that's all I can seem to gather up. So while Jesus and they were, while Jesus saying, well, what are we going to do to feed this? He's out there saying, well, I don't know. Anybody got anything here we can pass around? You got a picnic basket, boo boo. I mean, you got to do something here. He wasn't sure how it was going to get done, and maybe he thought it was impossible to even feed that many, but he was actually trying to find a way to serve the people. That's what the followers of the master does. The fans say, feed me. Now watch, this is what we have done to a lot of the young people in Christendom, if you will, in the church. We said, well, they can't take the adult Sunday school church. So we're the adult church service, so we're going to give them their own, and then, so then we have decided that we can keep the kids in the church if we entertain them, give them what they want, change this, change that, let's bring it down, make it look like a nightclub, like to make the music sound like a nightclub, let the singers sound like a nightclub, let's chat like a comedian, and then we'll be able to keep the kids. And what we've done is we've trained our kids to be fans, not followers. And I'm very grateful. This is all as good as truth. I would think all of our teachers and all of our staff, and by the way, we've got a new man coming on in June to help out with the young couples, and I'm tickled to death that we're going to do this. And I've talked to him. If all goes well, we have a new same thing. These are not people these are folks who love the Lord, and they're not trying to make fans out of these kids. They're not fans out of our people. They're here to make followers of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be dry and boring. See, fans think all this is dry and boring. This is the Word of God. This is truth. This stuff is eternal. It changes everything. But a fan says, well, you know, I like that part, but I don't like this part. Well, I like that part. That's pretty good. That's funny. I like the one about the talking donkey. I like that one's funny. I like that one. I like the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. So they were looking to take on responsibility. Letter B, fans like to be served. Letter B, fans like to be served and really are not concerned with the cost to others that serve them. You ever notice that when people are constantly being served, after a while they think it's their job to be the critic? After a while you get folks that, okay, make me laugh. Go ahead, move me, try it. I dare you. fans like to be served and really not concerned with the cost to others to serve them. The whole committee of 5,000 men, plus families, had decided nothing could be done, and there they sit waiting to be fed. Now think about that. This whole crowd looks like one of those movies with all those people, you know, all these people come up over the hill. And all these people come up over the hill, and there they are, thousands of people, and there sits Jesus and his 12 disciples, a dozen guys and Jesus, and here's 1,000. And Jesus says, all right, set them down, we'll feed them. Now somebody in that crowd should have said, oh my soul, no, sir, you don't need to do that. We're fine, we're just fine, we're fine and dandy. No, feed us. Go ahead, feed us. Fans are not worried where the provision is coming from. They just assume others are going to take care of them. Come in and entertain me, move me. No, you don't move me as well. I'll go down someplace else where they'll serve me. Well, you don't. Well, no one shook my hand. I'm going down here. Is that the way your church people are? Was that the way you are? Hop from church to 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 church. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you, this is where our society has come to. Let us see. Followers are thinking about others because they're like the master. They've been learning from the master. Followers are thinking about others. Listen, watch this. 2 fishes and 5 barley loaves are basically nothing for a crowd this size. And even if you add the money that they might have had in the treasurer's bag, which is talked about the penny worth of food, they probably said, well, I've got this much, but what's that going to be worth? You know, I can't buy enough food for these people for that. Watch this. Followers can become anxious over meeting the needs of others. They're willing to carry the load. That's what a follower does. Number 8. You know what? I'm going to stop there. And you're glad I did. We'll stop there. And we'll finish this up next time. That's the neat thing about Bible study. Pick up where you left off. You ever listen to J. Vernon McGee on the radio? And he comes, oh, our time is over. We're done. You know? Think about, are you a fan or a follower? We'll pick up there from next week. Kind of mull on that a little bit. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for your blessings and thank you for the way you watch over us. And Lord, forgive us when we spend too much time being a fan rather than a follower. Lord, speak to us about that. Maybe we have some things we've been a fan over, and maybe some things we've been a follower over, and maybe there's some things we need to straighten out. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, be one here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray that they'll come to know Christ tonight. Maybe there's somebody who's been here many, many times, and whatever it is, I don't know. But Lord, maybe we just make an altar right where we are and just determine to be a follower, not just a fan. And we ask in Christ's name, amen.